And from there, if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, where we'll be looking at this morning. And may the Spirit be with us as we read God's Word and worship Him. 1-3 in chapter 3 of 1 John. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. And let us pray for God's blessing. O Father, what love You show towards us, and what kind of love that You show towards us. Be with us this morning during this hour. Be with our hearts. Strengthen us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to trust in You as You Yourself make us and have made us to be Your sons and Your daughters. Be with me in my weakness to proclaim Your love and Your word, to proclaim You. Give us comfort and assurance, and allow Your truths to penetrate to our hearts and our souls, to follow You and live with a pure hope in You. And we pray these things in Your name, in Your Son's name. Amen. With such a text, it is amazing that there is such a love that the Father shows towards us, and in light of what we have here, what is displayed, manifested before us is this great doctrine of adoption, this adoption as sons that we have through the Spirit and through His Son, through the love of the Father. And with children being born, we know how beautiful it is to have a relationship, a fellowship with such young ones, to see them grow and mature. And with that being a beautiful thing, it is also such a beautiful thing to see people being adopted, little ones being adopted into families, being shown such love with adopted parents, with mothers and fathers. To see ones who might not have had loving parents be able to come into a family that loves them, or maybe a child that didn't even have parents to grow up with as an orphan, to have them actually be in a relationship with a father, with a mother. We see what beauty and glory and love there is in adoption. And as we consider the spiritual adoption that our Heavenly Father grants to us, we can see what beauty there is, what love there is that should stir our affections toward Him, that should cause us to worship Him all of our days because of His love towards us, and how deep it is, how great it is, that it is nothing within ourselves that we are loved, but He shows love towards us and brings us into His family, into His fold, us being strangers and now being able to be made children of God, sons of God. And how great it is that the Father takes Himself for us, that the Spirit of adoption works in our hearts to be sons, and that His own beloved Son died for us and lives for us, that we may also be sons with Him and heirs with Him of a heavenly reward in this heavenly family. And Thomas Watson, one of the Puritans, in his famous work, The Body of Divinity, gives these things which are so great to consider in light of adoption. He writes these things that we should be able to see the amazing love of God in making us His sons, His very own sons. And that in light of this, we should examine ourselves whether we are indeed adopted. And we can rejoice in the benefits of adoption if we are indeed adopted by Him. And as we rejoice, we can extol and magnify the mercy of God as He Himself adopts us into His family. And so we behold what manner of love the Father has towards us. And with such an adoption, which allows us to receive the privileges and the riches of His salvation, we therefore receive a transformed relationship with God. And as we walk through the text this morning, although this is not all-encompassing, we can see that it changes our entire lives. And we'll see what John communicates is that there is a transfer relationship not only with God Himself, but also with the world and with our future and even with ourselves in light of this love towards us, this adoptive love towards us. We can see that there's a relationship changed, transformed with God, but also with the world and with our future and also with ourselves. And as the Westminster Confession of Faith expresses, that we can see this act of God's free grace in adoption, whereby we are received into His very number, and we have a right to all the privileges of the Son of God, us being sons that are glorified through this one. And so let us just begin with the transformed relationship with God Himself. Look at verse 1 again as I read it, as we turn our attention to it. John writes this, that, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." And we see this great new birth there, that we who are sons of man can become sons of God. That there is this regeneration that goes on in light of the love of God. And we can actually behold it, we're to witness it and look to it, understand it for ourselves. With it being a different kind of love altogether in this world. The word itself that's translated, "what manner," it is as though it's of another country, of another planet. It's alien to us, and yet it is shown towards us where we are at, though we do not deserve it. And it is more than just a romantic type of love. It is more than just a love that one might have with their own blood relatives or with a parent or a brotherhood type of love. It is a great will of God that comes to our very hearts and transforms our lives, bringing us to Himself and to a fellowship with the Father and with His Son, that He shows us such a great and deep love. And He grants it to us. He gives us out of His own free grace, out of His own free will, this very love. And it is not just, again, not just a conditional love out of what we do, but an unconditional love as He works His will and works in our lives as well. And it should be significant first to see our relationship before God shows His love towards us. If you'll turn with me to John 1 in John's Gospel, we can understand that we're aliens of God, first we're sinners against God, but yet by His free grace we are made children of God through His Son who came into the world in grace and truth. And if you'll look with me at verse 12 to 13, John records this, that, "As many as received Him," this being the Word, this being the light, this being Christ, "to These ones he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We see that out of his love, we are made children of God, that it is not being born out of blood, it is not being born out of our own wills, but it is being born of God, that we have a relationship with him, that we can be actual children of his, that we are entrusted to his riches and can be raised up into a maturity of faith. That beforehand we are naturally not knowing God, that we are at enmity with God, but yet the supernatural love of God comes about that we can know him as he forgives us, as he actually gives us a spiritual awareness of his truths, of himself, through his Son who brings light to the world and saves us. And this should cause us to then cry out to say, "Behold, what manner of love he bestows towards us. How deep the Father's love towards us." We can say, "O love of God, how rich and pure. O love of God, how strong and true. O love of God, that does not let us go." That though we are sinners that are vile against him, we are then transformed to have a reconciled relationship with him. But yet we must be born again to this. It is not enough, as John 3, as Christ conveys to Nicodemus, to be born of the flesh. We must be born again because we are naturally sons of wrath. We are sons of disobedience. We are sons of sin and of the evil one, and yet we're transferred into this family of God through his love, that we are sons of his Son, that we are made sons of obedience, that we are made sons of love, that we are now not sons of wrath but sons of grace, and have a relationship with this great and loving God. And that there is a great privilege with not only being sons but also heirs in light of this adoption, in light of being taken in by him into his own family. And of course, there's two great familiar texts that convey such riches, such benefits, such privileges. To read them quickly, turn with me to Romans 8 first, which is such a great text that conveys his strong love of adoption towards us as the Spirit works within us. Verses, I'll just read the full passage from 12 to 17 in Romans 8. Paul conveys, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." There's an intimacy that is able to be brought about by this adoption, by the spirit of adoption, this Abba, Father, Abba being a more intimate, more personal way of calling upon a dad, upon a father, that is expressive of one's love to one, that shows love to himself or herself. That though we are once made in the flesh, we are made alive again in the Spirit, and therefore we are to live to him as he causes us to live actually with him. that we don't have to fear because we receive His love and adoption, and that we are heirs of a heavenly inheritance through His own Son, and that we actually receive Him, we receive God Himself, and come into a relationship with Him. And it is though as if you have a parent and a little child walking on a street, and the father is able to hold that one little one's hand as they go along. So God the Father comes alongside us, takes us by His hand, and leads us in His way and in His love, and doesn't allow us to be separated from that. No matter the circumstances, no matter what we ourselves do, He holds us in His own very hand out of His own love. And therefore we can call out what manner of love, that we may be called children of God, that we actually are made children of God, not only given the title, but given the life of being a child of God. That we who were once dead like a deer on the side of a road were not just left there to be devoured, but He actually gives us life and actually leads us to still waters, actually leads us to green pastures, and actually draws us to Himself, allowing us to have a relationship with Him, with His richness and His pureness, this eternal love, this steadfast love, this great encompassing love that knows no depth, that knows no length, no height. We can see what love God displays towards us, and how it is irreversible, how it is indeed eternal, that God actually does something with His love. He doesn't just say that He'll love us and then not be good towards us, but He remains faithful to His promises and actually loves us. He actually makes us to be righteous. He actually makes us to be in a relationship with Him and cares for us as one who sees our needs and provides for them, as our own mom and dads seek to do, that we are actually raised up by Him to a newness of life, to this inheritance that is imperishable, as 1 Peter expresses in his first chapter, that we are made alive to a newness of life in light of this love of God towards us, that we can walk with Him, that we can endure with Him. And so we are called to abide in His love. If you turn with me back to 1 John, just reading the verses that lead up to chapter 3, verse 1. He gives this very application, expressing to those in the church, those that are beloved to Him, little children. He says that we are to abide in Him, in His love, that when He Himself appears, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. And so as we behold what manner of love is shown to us, as we see the relationship that's transformed, as we seek such a relationship with Him, we're to abide in Him, to remain with Him, endure with Him, whatever may come to us as we go about in this world, looking to Him and seeking to obey Him, seeking to be conformed to His will, to be righteous. For everyone who is born of Him doesn't continue in sin habitually, unrepentantly, but actually is transformed to live to Him, to be righteous as He is righteous, to be loving of Him as He loves us. And what great love there is shown in this changed relationship with God. But yet we see that there is more than just a relationship with God that has changed. There's also a relationship with the world. Let me finish what's in verse 1 of chapter 3. As we are seeing that we are called children of God, he gives this statement that therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And if we are indeed loved by God, we shouldn't be surprised that the world hates us as they hate God himself. We know that apart from regeneration, from God creating a new heart within us as he makes us to be sons, we see that there is no saving knowledge of the Father. There is no relationship with the Father, and because they don't know him as a son knows him, as a Christian, as one believing in him knows him, therefore they hate him, they persecute those and oppose those that are with him because they don't know him. They don't understand his truths and his ways. They see it as something strange, as something obscure to themselves. And if we remember what Jesus himself says, this should come to the forefront of our minds as we read such a verse as this. As Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples before he's betrayed, in John chapter 15, he conveys a similar idea. In verses 18 to 19 of chapter 15, he says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And so we shouldn't be surprised that the world hates us, even though it is a hard thing to accept, to see us being opposed, to see us being not respected, to be not loved by others. We shouldn't be surprised with this. And what's the reason for this? The reason ultimately is because of God's love towards us. We can honestly say, if we know him, that God's love is greater than anything that the world could do in love towards us. That his love beats everything. His love overcomes anything. And that with him there is salvation. There is a knowledge of his love and his truths. There is a forgiveness with him, a reconciliation with him, and this being through his own son, through him who was sent out of love so that we might not perish but actually have eternal life, might actually have fellowship, communion, a relationship with the Father. And so this should, again, stir our hearts to love him, and not only that, but to love those who are his, that there is a unity with the Son and with the Father through the Spirit, and there's also a love that just naturally flows from this to those who also are loved by him. There's this great unity with being loved by God and therefore loving his own people, his own church, those that he has adopted into his family. We not only love him, but also love his family. And it stirs us up, it encourages us to express joy and love towards others around us, towards himself, to be in a relationship, actually, with others, with him. And therefore, there's the sweet comfort of knowing him, him who is greater than all things, because we have life through him. And again, looking at John, this coming to mind in chapter 17, as the Son is indeed praying to the Father before he's betrayed and arrested, and prays with sweats of tears of blood in the garden. He conveys as he prays that the glory which you have gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. And we see that the love that the Father has to His own Son is therefore expressed to us as well, that we are, in being made children of God, we receive His love freely of His own free grace, that we have Him even abiding with us in His righteousness, in His love, in His truths, and His grace and mercy. He is with us, even though the world does not know Him, even though the world does not know us. He knows us, and therefore we know Him as He knows us. And what assurance this is, that we can struggle with at times as we see our own sin, as we see others sinning against Him, but yet we have great comfort that He loves us steadfastly, that He does not take away His love from us if indeed we are His, that He loves us with a special love that the world does not have and does not know apart from His grace. And we should seek to then be more with Him rather than being with the world, while at the same time seeking others in this world to love Him as well, not separating ourselves from the world, but not living as the world does, seeking to be with Him and to live like Him in our lives in this transformed relationship with Him. And turning back to 1 John 3, there's not only this change also, but even further, a relationship with our own future. In 1 John again, read with me in verse 2. We see, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And what hope there is in this, what purifying hope, lasting hope is here. And of course, there is a tension of how can we be children of God, but yet be considered not yet children of God? How can this be, this tension, this paradoxical identity in being made children of God, but yet not being fully revealed to be children of God? What is going on here in the statement that we are children of God, but yet it has not yet been revealed what we shall be? And so what comes to mind is, what does this mean? And I think if we examine our lives in the Christian faith, it can become evident that there is a great comfort in knowing that with God working in our lives, that there is now, at this moment, a change in our relationship upon receiving Him and believing in Him. We are actually made children of God now. We are made pure now. We can live as pure ones, as holy ones, as children of God now, and trust in His love. But yet we see sin within us still. We see there's this war going on, that we sin against Him and don't love Him fully, that we don't do as we ought, and that we don't do what we should. And even the things we do, there's a mixture of sin in that, even though as He causes us to do what is good, yet it could still be more fully good. And so there's this tension of, we are children of God now, but we shall be fully children of God in the future, in the sense of being glorified completely, being transformed completely in the future, when Christ comes again, when we go to Him in heavenly glory, as He conforms us to His very image. We understand that then we will love Him fully. We will be perfect with Him. We will be actually like Him because we behold His face. In the Psalms and in the rest of Scripture as well, there's conveyed again and again this thought of actually beholding Him when we shall be raised in the newness of heavenly glory, of perfectness, that when we fall asleep, we shall awake and be satisfied with His love, with Himself, with His likeness, as, for example, Psalm 17 says, and as we read in John 17 and in Romans 8, there's a conformity that happens as just the Son is like the Father, so we are made to be like the Father. We are made to be like the Son in light of this adoption that we have with Him, that we are conformed more and more as we are justified and as we are sanctified, as we are declared righteous but also made righteous. We long, we yearn to be in His heavenly presence, especially as we are afflicted here in this world, as we see death going on in this world, as we see abuse in families going on in this world. We know with Him in heaven there will be no more of this. Sorrow will then be turned into joy, that when that moment of being with Him in glory, we shall be like Him, we shall be with Him perfectly, and no one can separate us from this love, whether it be life or death, whether it be things in this world or things to come. Nothing can separate us from this because we have a heavenly citizenship with Him, that we know Him and have a surpassing knowledge of Him, which is greater than what's in ourselves, what's in this world. And so we await a Savior. We await this blessed, beloved One to come and to be like Him, to be with Him forever. And what a glorious future that will be. It won't just be a boring sitting on clouds, but it'll actually be a loving relationship with Him that goes on forever, being able to be with Him and also others with Him, that there will be a joy that lasts throughout the ages as we sing of His love for us there in glory. And what a future this is, what a hope there is. And we should seek to endure, to strive for this future, knowing that He's the one that does it through His Son, through His Spirit. But we seek to keep ourselves in His love as He keeps us. As Jude says at the end of his epistle, we keep ourselves in His love, knowing that He keeps us from stumbling, that He keeps us so that we may be presented blameless and holy and pure to Him. And what a future that is, that though it is not yet appearing manifested, that when He appears, when He manifests Himself, we shall be like Him and shall actually see Him as He is. And we know that there's a joy there, that it is comforting and loving to talk with someone, to perhaps even message someone over the phone or over letters, but it is something else to actually see them, to be in their presence and to be with them, to actually love each other in that union, in that fellowship together perfectly and fully in a holy love that does not change. What a future that itself is. And so there is a transformed relationship with God. There's also a transformed relationship with the world. There's a transformed relationship with the future. And lastly, as we read in verse 3 of 1 John 3, there's also a transformed relationship with ourselves, with our very souls and hearts that goes on as He loves us. Read with me verse 3. In light of this promise of being like Him and seeing Him as He is, we read, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. We see that we die to ourselves and live to God, that we see that we are made pure, that we are cleansed, we are sanctified, we are glorified more and more until heavenly glory with Him. In this life now, we purify ourselves as He is pure and makes us pure. That is not just believing in Him, but also appreciating His love and seeking to remain in His love, seeking to be pure as He Himself is pure. And in the Psalms, this is conveyed in Psalm 19, we read that he himself is pure indeed. David, writing especially about his commandments in Psalm 19, verse 8, David communicates that the commandment of the Lord is indeed pure, enlightening the eyes, illuminating the minds, as it endures forever. And in Psalm 51, as David himself is confessing his sin before God in such humility and contriteness, as the Spirit is working within him, we read in verse 10, he communicates, pleads to God to have a clean heart created within him, to have a renewed, steadfast spirit within him, to not be cast away from his presence and to not have the Holy Spirit taken from him. We see that he is pure and he causes us to be pure. And therefore, we then are to seek a pure life, seek to be pure ourselves, to not be mixed with sin, to not be mixed with the world, but seek holiness and righteousness and his grace and truth, seeking to be like him as we have this hope of fully being like him in heavenly glory. In Ezekiel, there is this both sides of things communicated. In Ezekiel 36, as it's talking about the new covenant, he says that there's created a new heart which is pure. But yet in Ezekiel 18, we read that there is a pure heart actually made there and that we're to seek to be pure as he is pure also. And what an encouragement this is, a humbling challenge, but yet a humbling comfort this is, that we're called to be pure as he is pure. We're to purify ourselves, to entrust ourselves to him in light of this adoption as sons, to live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, and to live by this pure one, in this pure one, through this pure one, living a holy life. To be purebreds of God, if you will. We know that in livestock, with horses, with cows, with dogs, whatever it may be, we know that there's a preciousness, a value to one that is purely bred, to one that is not mixed in with another breed, but is made to be a pure breed of that kind. And we see with God, he takes us that we, though we are not of his kind naturally, he makes us to be his kind. He makes us to be pure. And therefore we seek more and more to be pure as he himself makes us pure, as he works in our wills and our minds and our hearts to love him fully and purely, with a pure love, with a pure heart, with a pure mind and a pure will. He makes us his. He makes our will his. He makes our love his. And so we entrust ourselves to him, pray to him, look to his word and seek to be with him, to be enamored by his love, to be encouraged by him taking us to be his own as sons. And in closing, let me read what another Puritan, Richard Sibbes, wrote as he preached on this very text of 1 John. He wrote this, that as we seek to be pure, as we seek to know him, remember to who it is you go, that it is to a Father and a heavenly one at that, that he is above all things and greater than any Father here on earth as a heavenly Father. And then in light of that, we go to his Son, we go to Christ himself. And then we go to his word and to his promises, having encouragement through that, having our desires lifted up to be motivated and supported by his love towards us, and going to him, going to his word and his promises, we then make use of his seals and his blessed sacraments, looking to our baptism, looking to the Lord's Supper, looking to his very love, seeing the seal of his Spirit upon us as it testifies with us that we are indeed sons of him, if indeed we are, that we don't have to be weary, we don't have to fear, we can actually take courage as we are made alive to him and die to ourselves and die to sin. We can be watchful in our purity, seeking to live pure lives in this world, looking to a pure life in the future, being stirred up by His love towards us. And with this passing world going by in the future, even now we know His love, and yet we do not fully know how much we owe to Him. But yet we can, when looking at His amazing love and seeing His grace towards us, we wonder how He could love us, and yet we are so grateful that He actually does indeed love us with a pure love, with a holy love, receiving us as adopted sons and daughters who will receive a heavenly inheritance in Him. And what great love this is that we can behold in our lives, and so we are to seek it and trust ourselves to it and depend upon it more and more day by day, both today as well as the days to come. And with that, let us pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank You that You make us to be sons of Yourself through Your very Son who You sent into the world to save us, to purify us, to make us Your own. Help us to behold Your love more and more in our lives, to recognize that we are to offer our life, our all to You, for You are our all in all. To trust that You take us to Yourself, You give us a hope that we shall be like You and that we shall be with You and see You in glory. And so as we endure here on earth, help us to look to You in heaven. And with John we say, oh, what kind of love You show towards us, that You call us to be sons of God and make us to be sons of God. Be with us. Help us to worship You more and more, to love You more and more, to be stirred up by Your love. And in Your own Son's name we pray. Amen.